Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from Dino Ciccatello.
For those of you I'm still yet to meet, my name is Dino. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just love church. Anyone love church? I really love church. I love coming together, meeting new friends and family. We've got the party started over here, and just every Sunday, it's so good to see familiar faces, but it's also great to see brand new faces. So if this is your first weekend with us here at View Church, we want to say welcome. We love you guys. We believe church is better because you're in it, and we believe that you're the reason why we do it. And so we want to be a church that touches the community, but I'm so pumped. Don't you just love those testimonies? It's so good about people who just step into the church, into the presence of God, meet God's people, and discover their purpose and take their next step. KG, you would have seen, was helping lead worship over here. Hey, we had Damien, first time on electric guitar, amazing. And then we had Anton, he's over here, he was playing keyboard. He's not Anton, he's a Wetu, but they look very similar. They got good tans and just looking good. Give me some. Good man. But we're excited about moving God's kingdom forward. We're excited about the things God has for us. And so we're kicking off a brand new series called I Heart My Church. Hey, why don't you make like a little heart sign and turn to your neighbor and say, I heart my church. I heart my church. Heart. You got to make this a heart sign. Don't say it in Afrikaans because that means something different. Ek heart my kerk. That's something different. Just say it in English. I heart. It means I love my church. I'm always reminded of the scripture, Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. And I pray that's your testimony every Sunday at View Church. Are you glad to come to the house of God, in the presence of God, in the purposes of God? I'm always glad to come to God's house because I know that in His presence, the Bible tells me, in His presence is fullness of joy. There's liberty, there's healing. The presence of God sets people free. In God's presence, I find restoration. In God's presence, I get restored, I get refreshed. In the presence of God, I discover His promises. In the presence of God, all these good things happen, but it's in His presence with His people, in His house, for His glory. And so this morning, we're going to pray. And the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. Let us not leave this place today because we haven't asked God for something. Let's lean in. And you know what? I was just reminded that the thing that makes a local church powerful is unity. Unity makes a local church powerful. And unity is not reading the same scripture. It's not singing the same songs. It's having the same spirit. When we have the same spirit, that's where there's unity. And the Bible says in Psalm 133 that where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Anyone want to be blessed this morning? Anyone want to be blessed this morning? He commands a blessing where there's unity in the room. And so I want us to actually have the same spirit this morning, and not just the spirit of salvation, but the spirit of expectancy. I want you to lean in this morning to the Word of God. I want you to show God's Word. That's why we give you a worship experience manual where we give you, allow you to take notes, because you show God how you treat and honor His Word when you take down notes. You sit under it like a scholar. I don't hear the voice of a stranger. I hear the voice of my Savior. I'm leaning in this morning and I want to show God I'm leaning into Your Word. I'm expecting for something. I want to take something. I need something. I don't want to know You more. I need to know You more, God. So I'm leaning in this morning, and I want to invite you to do the same. I want you to lean into the presence of God because He has something prepared for you today. He's got something prepared for me today, and I want to have everything He's prepared for me. He said He's laid out every single one of your days before you lived a single one of them. That means He's prepared something in advance for you this morning, but it will come to those who are expectant to receive it. You'll find what you're looking for. And so when we pray this morning, won't you pray along those lines? Lord, won't you speak to me? Won't you just touch me today? Come on, let's just pray. Don't just listen to me pray. Speak to Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge Your presence here today. Lord, it's always been about You. Thank You, Jesus, for what You did for us. Thank You, Jesus, for loving us on our best days and loving us on our worst days all the same. Lord, we thank You for Your Word that it never returns empty, never comes back void, accomplishes every task for which it is sent. God, we declare healing, We declare restoration. We thank you for restored marriages. We thank you for restored relationships. We thank you for provision. We thank you for jobs and employment in Jesus' name. I thank you that in your presence, I find joy and liberty. I thank you that in your house is where I find a blessing. I thank you with your people is where I find community. And today, won't you receive all the glory? Our minds are open and our hearts are receptive to what you want us to hear, see, and ultimately what you want us to do in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. So good. So my sermon is entitled, I know I love Jesus, but do I love his church? I know I love Jesus, but do I love his church? One of my favorite scriptures that help give me perspective and help me prioritize my life. How busy is life? Hey, life's just going another level. Seems like it's picking up pace as years go by. It gets faster and faster. And a scripture that helps me give me perspective as to what I should do with my days, as to where I should spend my time, because time's the only thing you don't get back, it's Proverbs 28:19. You'll know it well if you've been in church for long enough. The Message version says it like that. The other version say it like, those who don't have a vision will perish. People perish for a lack of vision. But I like the Message version. It says, your garden is not the one. That's not the scripture, because I think I've given the wrong scripture reference. I think it is 28:19. No. Could be 19:28. I didn't sleep last night. I'm just letting you know. Isabel partied hard. But the scripture I am looking for is where people perish for a lack of vision. The Message version says it like this. You can take that down. Thank you in Jesus' name. Cover that up. Grace, grace, grace. The boss isn't here this morning, so I'm not the lead pastor. But when the cat's away, come on somebody, the mice will play in Jesus' name. And so if this is your first weekend with us, come back next week. Preaching will be better. The scriptures will be accurate. And it says in the Message version, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When people can't see what God is doing, they stumble over themselves. But when they attend to what God reveals, they are most blessed. Which begs the question, what is God revealing in this day and age? What is God revealing about the expression of his mission, of his purpose in this day and age? You see, there's only two eras throughout the existence of humanity. I'm not going to do a bit of teaching now, but just lean in. There's only two eras. The first era is the era of mankind, and that's the era we live in. Since the inception of man, we live in the era of mankind. The second era is the messianic era. That's when Jesus comes back. You guys with me? First era we're living in, there's only two eras. The first one we live in now. The second era is when Jesus comes back. But there are various dispensations. Only two eras, but various dispensations. Now, the word dispensations is actually, the Greek translation is oikonomia, oikonomia. Now, oikos means house, and nemo means manage. Now, dispensation in the scripture is actually saying, in this dispensation, this is how God wants to manage his house. Are you with me this morning? And there's been various ways throughout church history, the existence of humanity, that God has had various dispensations, only two eras, but various dispensations on how he wants to manage his house. So the first one is obviously from creation to fall. That's the era, the dispensation of innocence. Then there's the one of conscience, where it's from the fall to the flood. Then there's one of human government, from the flood to Abraham. And then the one of promise, from Abraham to the law of Moses on Mount Sinai. And then it's from the law to Calvary, from Calvary to kingdom, and then kingdom is the new era. Which one do we live in? We live in from Calvary to kingdom. Hey, would you agree? We live in the dispensation. The manner in which God wants to manage his business is in the dispensation of from Calvary to kingdom. It's also known as the dispensation of grace, or the dispensation of his church. Now, while I was studying all these things, there's three things that really popped out to me. The first of which is, when people in each dispensation discovered God's purpose, stuck with his pattern, they experienced and could administer his power. When they discovered God's purpose in every dispensation, whether it was from innocence to fall, or from fall to flood, from flood to Abraham, from Abraham to Moses, from Moses to Calvary, in each dispensation, when they discovered God's purpose, they stuck with God's pattern, they would be able to experience, administer God's power. You with me this morning? So what's God's purpose? We know it well. Luke 15 exposes the heart of God. He says that I'm all about the lost coin, the single lost coin. I'm all about the lost sheep. I leave the 99 for the one. I'm all about the lost son. I know I've got many sons at home, but the one that's missing is the ones that I'm focusing on, because they need to come back home. And we know that his purpose in Luke 19:10 says what? I've come to seek and save the lost. So his purpose has never changed. It's just the expression of his mission, the different ways he's managed his house that has changed. Are you with me this morning, church? So the purpose stays the same, which the second question, so what is God's pattern for you and me here today? I'm going to plead the case that his pattern for his purpose to be fulfilled is found in the context of the local church. I believe that's the pattern that God wants us to adopt in this day. From Calvary to Kingdom, I believe the vehicle, the primary tool to redeeming mankind unto himself is the local church of Jesus Christ. There is no other vehicle. It's not a parachurch. It's not a throw up here. It's not something outside the body. It's the body of God. The kingdom of God is established through the local church. Amen. Bless you. I don't know if that was a cough, sneeze, or all the things together, but it's through the kingdom, it's through the local church that the kingdom is established. And God's always been building his church. Did you know that? People say it's a New Testament, Acts 2 type of thing. No, God's been building his church from day one. Deuteronomy chapter 4 tells us like this. It says from verse 10, assemble the people before me to hear my words that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and they may teach their children. This word assemble, also in another version, says gather. Now, that word gather in the Hebrew is kwachel. I think that's how you pronounce it. Chel. With the H there. And in the Septuagint is the Greek translated Bible, Bible translated into Greek, translates the word ecclesia. Have you heard that word before, ecclesia? It's where we actually get our modern day term church from. It's funny, God right from the beginning said, gather my people together, gather them as the church. God has always been building his church. It's never been about a person, it's always been about a people. It's always been about a nation. It's always been about a collective. That's why the Bible says we are a holy priesthood. I love it. It actually says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 16, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there. Everyone say it, forever. Forever. There we go. My eyes and my heart will always be there. Everyone say always. One of God's characteristics, I know I'm doing a bit of teaching this morning, but one of God's characteristics of who he is the fact that he's immutable. Immutable means never changing. He's not able to change. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. The same God that says, my eyes and my heart will always be there is the same God we serve today. The Message version says, his eyes are on it and his heart is in it. Now listen, if the same, we serve the same God, if God's eyes are on it and his heart is in it, I'm going to give my life for it. I'm going to partner with God. If God's eyes are always going to be on his house, better believe I'm going to be in his house. If his heart's always going to be in it, I'm going to give towards it. I'm going to serve towards it. I'm going to give my energy towards it because that's the pattern in this dispensation that God is blessing with his power. We know his purpose. You know, I've seen that a lot of people actually want to experience the power of God. Hey, you want to experience God's power? But not a lot of people want to submit to his pattern. They want to experience his power on their terms. But I haven't seen that to be congruent with what scripture teaches. It says when we discover his purpose and stick with his pattern, not my plans, not my will, but your will be done. Doesn't the Bible say that? When we stick to his pattern, we experience and be able to administer his power. And his eyes and his heart is on the local church of Jesus Christ. But Dino, I'm saved outside the local church. Yes, you are. Obviously, you're saved. I can be a Christian outside the church. Yes, you are saved in Christ. I agree with you 100%. You are part of the kingdom of God. So there's the universal church and there's the local church. You with me this morning? The universal church is all Christians everywhere, all the time. So Christians thousands of years ago are part of the universal church. Christians that are still yet to come are part of the universal church. When you get saved, you enter the kingdom of God. That's the universal church. But the local church is the community of the kingdom. So you may be part of his kingdom, but if you're not part of the church, you're not part of his community. The Bible teaches us. Is this okay? I just want us to get to the point where this isn't just a social event. This is a supernatural experience. This isn't just a place or a program. This is a people of God coming under the mandate of God, by the pattern of God, to experience the power of God. The church isn't a building. The church is a people that God is raising up to redeem a lost world unto himself. That is what the church of Jesus Christ is. And if we would develop a stronger conviction about what he's calling us to, all of a sudden we'll have a greater devotion to what he wants us to do. But if we think church is just a program where we come together and sing songs and we just, you know, and we have a little worship experience, have a coffee and a high five, we would think lower of God's pattern and we would experience less of his power. But if you get a revelation of what God wants you to do in this dispensation, to be part of the pattern of the local church, you'll experience the power of God and be able to administer it in your life. Remember, the revelations, the picture of revelations God gives of the end time church is the river flows from the church, not to the church. That's powerful because the anointing flows, starts in the house. It doesn't come from outside the house in. The anointing and the healing of God starts in the house and flows into your business, flows into your family, flows into our community, flows into the streets, flows into our schools, flows into government, flows into municipal powers and authorities and all those different things. But it starts where? In the house. It starts in the local church of Jesus Christ. The Bible actually teaches us that when we are saved, but we don't have a local body to be part of, it calls us an orphan. That we are part of a universal family, but he wants you to be part of a local community. Now, this is an advocate. It's never been about a church named View. It's always been about a Savior named Jesus. So I'm not telling you View Church is the mandate of God, although I do believe we are part of God's plan. I'm telling you the church of Jesus Christ is part of. So if this is not a church for you, if this isn't a church where you can get deeply planted and find your place and find your purpose and find your place in the body of God, then please, we want to help you find that place. But it is the church that preaches Jesus, the church that lives by grace, the church that lives by the word of God. God alone is the authority of God's word. That's the church that you need to be part of in Jesus' name. Because that's the pattern to fulfill his purpose and release his power. You with me this morning? I love my church. I think the title, I love Jesus, but do I love his church, is a statement made by people who don't know God's love language. Because Jesus said, I died for my church. I'm coming back for my church. He started the church. In fact, my whole argument this morning actually echoes an old argument given by a man with a weird name named Gamaliel. Everyone say Gamaliel. Is anyone's name Gamaliel here this morning? Amen. Thank you. His name's Gamaliel. It said that he was a respected man amongst the people. And what happened was that these two disciples, Peter and John, were being persecuted for preaching Jesus and Christ crucified. And they were saying, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. And Peter said, well, I don't know about you, but I can't stop talking about what I've seen and what I've heard. By the way, that's your job and my job, to be a witness and not an attorney. A witness just says, this is what I've seen and this is what I've heard, this is what I've experienced, and that's being a witness for Jesus. So Peter and John said, oh, sorry, we can't stop being witnesses for Jesus. He's just done too much for us, so we can't stop talking about him. And they brought them in front of the council called the Sanhedrin, and the Pharisees were trying to, you know, take them out. And this man, Gamaliel, steps up, and this is his argument, and I echo the very same argument he does. Gamaliel says, therefore, in Acts chapter 5, verse 38 to 39, therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone and let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting God himself. I want to let you know the church did not start with men. Church started with God. It started with him. It sustained in him. And he's coming back for the church of Jesus. You will not be able to stop the church of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, do a little bit of church history. Many things have tried. Many people have tried. Many organizations have tried. Many powers have tried. But didn't Jesus say, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail in Jesus' name? That's what we are part of. You want to be part of the winning team? Get on the team that Jesus is part of. You know what Jesus is doing right now? He's building his church. You know what he's going to do tomorrow? He's building his church. You know what he's going to do a year from now, 2 years from now, unless he comes back before then? He's going to be building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. I want to be on that winning team. I don't know about you. That's why I love the church of Jesus. The church of Jesus is a powerful place. In fact, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, I think it is from verse 22 to 23. It says, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. The fullness of him fills everything in every way. Message version says it like this. Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, which he speaks, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. The purpose of God has never, ever changed. Since that day Adam and Eve fell into sin, his purpose has never changed. He's always been looking out for the lost people, the lost children, the lost people, the people that are broken and hurt, and those people are far from God. That's always been God's purpose. But his patterns have changed. And the pattern and dispensation we find ourselves in today is the age of grace, unmerited favor, and divine enablement found in the local church of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to be part of. That's what he wants you to be part of. He doesn't want you to just, you know, be part of attending it on a Sunday. He wants you to be living it out every day, not just one day of the week, but every day of the week. We don't come to church. You do know that, hey? We gather as the church. We don't gather around a place or a program. We gather around his presence. We gather around his word. That's what's always been the stencil of God's people. Acts 2:42 gives us a stencil of the church. It said they gave themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to breaking of bread, to prayer, and to fellowship. Do you know that's why we have good coffee and good connect area outside? It's not because it's trendy, although we like trendy things. Got the shirt, cotton on. Trendy, I think. White jeans. By God's grace, be trendy. But the reason why we invest in our connect areas is because the Bible says we should have good fellowship. You know why we preach God's word? Because it said they gave themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the word of God. You know why we break bread? Because we need to remember every day that we are saved by grace alone. It's by what he did, not what we do for him. And we give ourselves to prayer. The Bible says the church, and you and I are the church, should be a house of prayer. That's why we pray over our cards every week. Those little Next Step cards for the first-time guests, they might be just a piece of paper for you, but we say it every week. Those are precious cards to us. We pray over those cards. We'd love to stand with you in your points of need. That's the power of coming together in the local church. Am I making any sense this morning? I love our church, but I will give myself to his church and whatever that looks like. But we'll get to more of that in a little while. Did you know that 2/3 of the New Testament is written to the local church? Oh, Esther, God bless you. T.D. Jakes. come on. Nah. I wish I had some chairs over here. I don't know why they sit people on stage over here, because I don't know, the most of the time they see the back. I don't know if he wants to preach to the back of them, but if there were people here, I'd preach to them, but that's neither here nor there. 2/3 of the New Testament is written to the context of the local church. You know why we play testimonies and why we share testimonies? Because every single person has a story, but every single story has a context. Do you know what God's context for his story is found? It's found in the local church. You want to be part of his story. 2/3 of the New Testament is written to a church of a body of believers. Like, if we were back in the day, I don't like to say the biblical days, because we are still living in biblical days. We still have Bibles. You know what I mean? I'm talking about back then. If we were back then, there would have been a book maybe called View Churchians. I don't know, Galatians or View Churchians. But you need to understand, it was written to a church, a local body of believers, was the context in which the Bible, the revelation of the Word of God, actually took place. In community, with believers, with faithful people who love God. 2/3 of the New Testament has written to them. So when people say, well, I don't really need the church, well, I'm saying, well, maybe you should tear out 2/3 of the New Testament. Because it was written to a church, not to an individual. You see, you're saved in Christ, but you find your purpose when you're placed in the body and planted in his courts. You're saved in Christ. Yes, in Jesus' name. We are only saved. Nothing but the blood of Jesus saves you. Nothing but the blood. Can I have amen? Nothing but the blood of Jesus saves me and washes me clean. So you are saved in Christ, but you find your purpose being placed in his body and being planted in his courts. And I'm not talking about a pot plant that you can pick up and put in different places. I'm talking about something that's out the pot plant, deep roots in, and I'm staying deep. I'm getting nourishment from this place, and I'm bearing fruit for this place. And just a side note, a tree does not bear fruit for itself. A tree bears fruit for others, hey? So when you plant in the house of God, you don't exist for yourself. You say, I'm planted in View Church. I'm just here to receive. No, you're not planted. That's not a plant. That's not going to bear fruit. Because an apple tree doesn't eat of its own fruit, does it? No. Someone else that's hungry eats from the tree that's planted. And that seed will be scattered and more trees will be planted. You know when you planted when you're helping someone else get fed. I want to ask you, are you planted this morning? How long have you not been planted, but you thought you were planted? Because the only way when you're helping someone else get fed is actually when you're planted in the house of God. Did you know that? You're saved by Jesus alone. Don't misquote me on Twitter or Facebook, Dino saying the church. No, you're saved by Jesus, his church. But you find your purpose when you're planted in his body and when you're placed in his courts. I love the church of Jesus Christ. I've given my life for the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, the worship team can come up. This church has been an amazing church to me. The church is the mandate of God. When we discover his purpose, we stick to his pattern, we can experience and administer his power. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 5, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. I love it. Verse 9 continues to say, but you are a chosen person. No, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people, not a person of God, the people of God. Once you have had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That mercy he's talking about is in the context of being a people and not just a person. You know why God pulls us together? It's because he knows how the enemy hunts. We know this true. It says the enemy hunts like a lion, doesn't he? The Bible says that he prowls and he hoes like a lion. I don't know if he does the leo loop, but I don't know how, you know what I mean? The enemy is the leo loop. I don't know. Bad joke. Hey, bring it in, Dino. Rebuke you in Jesus' name. Again, the boss is away. Come back next week. It's going to be good. You know how a lion hunts? He doesn't dive in the middle of the pack. He doesn't dive in the middle of the pack. He doesn't even go for the sick one. He goes for the one that's just a little further away from the middle of the pack. And he doesn't chase the buck itself. He chases the gap between the buck and the pack. So that when he veers you off, you're all by yourself. You're just one person by yourself. You got no encouragement. You got no hope. You don't have anyone around just saying it's okay. I've been through what you're going through. My God came through for me. He's going to come through for you. In this church, I got saved in this church. The kids' church next door. I know where I was sitting. Gave my heart to God. I got healed in this church. This church fed us when we had no food. Church gave us money when we didn't have anything. Gave me hope when I had none. Church gave me identity when I was looking. It was in this church that I remember people used to say things, and this isn't knocking, but one of my greatest insecurities, by God's grace, I believe he's on a journey, but one of the worst things you could say to me is like, you're going to be just like your father. It was in this church that Graham said, you know, when people say that, Dino, the problem is they're looking at the wrong father, because now you got a new father. He's in heaven. You're part of a new bloodline. But it was in this church where I found healing, where I found restoration, where I found encouragement. It was in this church where I found my wife. Thank you, Jesus. It's in this church where I'm raising my kids, where he's lying on the floor, getting distracted, making a piece of paper over here. But it's in the church of Jesus Christ that I'm going to raise my family. You want to do something great. You want to do something that's going to last. You get planted in the local church of Jesus. You want to, parents, listen to me. You want to do something great for your children. You get planted in the house of God. Because when you and I are long gone, the house is still going to be here. May the days ahead of us be far greater than the days behind us. 1 Chronicles 22 says it great like this. David said, you know what? I'm not able to build the house of God, but I'm going to collect provision before, it says before he dies, he's going to collect as much provision as he could. So he collected more cedar logs than could be counted, more bronze that could be weighed, so that when Samuel began to build the temple of God, it would be far greater in the future than it was from the past. I want to let you know, you want to do something great for your family. Build the church of God. Put provision today so that tomorrow our children will grow up in a greater church, a more influential church, a more powerful church. But it happens when you discover his purpose, when you stick to his pattern, and when you experience his power. He comes in you and through you to touch your community, to touch your business, to touch your family, to change your future. But it's through the local context of the church. You're saved by Jesus, but you find your purpose when you are planted in his body and placed in his courts. No wonder David said, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I want to tell you, I would rather spend the rest of my days getting tired in the house of God than getting tired anywhere else. I want to give myself over to God every single day, but it's found in the context of the church. I love my church. In fact, Ephesians 5:32, it says that this is the great mystery. He's talking about a bride and groom. This is in the context of marriage. It says, this is the great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way that Christ and the church, everyone say, are one. Someone once said that you can serve the church and not serve Christ, but you can't serve Christ and not serve his church. To separate one from the other is to only get a small part of the big plan I believe God has for your life. To only say, I want Jesus, but not his church, is to play a small part. Only take a small part of the big promise, big purpose, and big plan God has for you in my life. The world of the generous becomes bigger and bigger. When you become part of something bigger, it stretches your mind. You don't live for yourself anymore. The tree that's planted is the tree that feeds other people. I wonder what your next step is today. Jesus is building his church. Gamaliel said it well. If it's from man, it's going to fail. If it's from God, nothing will stop them. The church of Jesus is moving forward. I want to encourage you to take steps. If this is the church for you, geez, our front door is not the back of the auditorium. Our front door is Growth Track. We'd love to help you take your next step. We believe in relationship before program. That's why we do view groups. We want to build a relationship with you, a family. We believe we serve a relational God. Remember, before the law, there was a relationship. If in the beginning God created man and woman and then gave them the law, I would have said, you know what, the law becomes before relationship. But it actually said, create a man and woman that he might commune with them. He had a relationship with them before he gave them the statutes and the law. We want to have a relationship with our people. We want to build together a strong, thriving. You know, the church that Jesus is coming back for is a radiant church, the Bible says. It's a church of influence. It's a church that's a powerful church. It's a church that doesn't exist for itself. It's a church that will give, and it's a church that will serve, and it's a church that will sacrifice, and it's a church that is devoted, and a church that's committed. I am a direct result of that church. There are people in this room that's, you know, I went to go, I was praying for one of our church members on Friday night. She turns 85 today. Her name's Julie. She's been with us for many years. Many, 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 many years. She turns 85. She's in hospital now. She's not well, but she's at peace. She says, if today's my day, this was Friday night, they just phoned me and said, you know, let's go pray for Julie. Can you go pray for Julie? I said, obviously I'll go pray for Julie. Spoke to her. How awesome talking to Julie. I said, Julie, how long have you known the Lord for? So I've been walking with the Lord for 51 years. 51 years I've known the Lord. Friends with our gangster grannies. You'll see them second service. They'll be rolling. She got saved with Auntie Mary. You know Auntie Mary. They got saved in a similar time period. Been walking with the Lord for 51 years. I said, Auntie Julie, what's your favorite scripture? Can I read it for you? She said, I don't know what it's called. I can't remember right now. Shame, she's not well, obviously. But it says, remain in me. I'm the true vine. We know that John 15. I said, Auntie Julie, that's John 15. Can I read it for you? I got down on my knee. I'm going to hold her hand. I said, I would love to read your favorite scripture to you on Friday night. Just read John 15. I said, remain in me. When you remain in me and my words remain in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, the Bible says. The way that we remain in Jesus is when we remain part of his body. When we stick to his pattern, we'll experience his power. I said, that's awesome, Auntie Julie. And we prayed and she's awesome. And she said, you know, Dina, I'm not afraid to die because I know who's waiting for me on the other side. I've walked with him for long enough to know that he is a faithful God. I've walked with him for long enough to know that he will never let me down. And in this time, I'm not afraid. I'm actually more at peace now than I ever have been before. But you know when she got that revelation? 50 years of being finding herself under the word of God, with God's people, walking with him hand in hand, saying, I want to stick with your pattern so I can experience your power and your peace and your goodness all the days of my life.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.